On today's Level Up, we're going to go over the League of Legends upsets from last weekend, and boy, Joe was a little off point from Checkpoint Radio on that one, and I didn't expect to be right, but kind of was. There's also another big person coming in the esports. We got a little bit of gaming news, mainly the huge potential Smash leak and what it could mean. And we also got Alex's Spooky Game Corner with a game that, well, the studio that made it has a game coming out this week, so I thought it'd be a nice time to tie it in. And we also have reviews at the end of the show for Soul Calibur 6 and Mega Man 11. That all is right around the corner.
Well, you already know what time it is. Give it to me.
Oh!
That's the sound of a perfect attack incoming.
It's time to level up.
Come on!
A weekly look at esports news and gaming on ESPN Pittsburgh and the iHeartRadio app. Now here's your host, Alex Lahue.
North America is doing good in League of Legends. Yes, you heard that right. Welcome to Level Up, your weekly esports and gaming podcast. My name is Alex Lahue, and like I said, we got to get right to the esports news because there's some upsets, people. Cloud9 coming in hot. They pulled a massive upset over the weekend as they defeat Africa Free Seas and move on to the semis. Also moving on is Invictus Gaming, G2 Esports, and Fnatic. Cloud9 and Fnatic will face off on October 28th at 4 a.m. Oh, wow, that's a really hard time to get up for. And G2 and Invictus will face off on the 27th at 4 a.m. But, admittedly, for the first time ever, even though I don't understand League of Legends very much, I might have to watch this. Oh, and we got one other big story in esports this week, and that's a big name has now put his money and hat into the esport ring. That's right. The king of basketball, no, not LeBron James, MJ, Michael Jordan, is getting into esports. Jordan has invested in Aixmonic Gaming, a division of Team Liquid. No word yet on how much money he put forth, but I imagine that's going to catapult Team Liquid to Cloud9 stature. And going back to League of Legends here, like, because it just, I forgot to bring this point up. Can you imagine what Cloud9, like, how much clout Cloud9 will have if they pull off a North American League of Legends world run? Just insane. That's, I don't even watch League of Legends, but that storyline alone is getting me interested in watching it. And we're going to have to bring back Joe from Checkpoint Radio or somebody else who maybe understands League of Legends a lot deeper and can get into the nuance of how Cloud9 is just pulling this off. But man, it's been a run for the ages. It really has. And it's one that's going to go down in gaming history. And as for MJ and Team Liquid, that could catapult Team Liquid into Cloud9 status. We will see moving forward. And that's really it for esports. League of Legends is really dominating the conversation in terms of esports over the last couple weeks, and it's only about to dominate it more, I bet, after this weekend. As I said, 27th and 28th, 4 a.m., if you're up, if you're, you know, let's say you're up or your insomniac wakes you up, go to a computer, get on Twitch, and watch some good League of Legends play. You might see some history be made. So, let's move on to the gaming news because it's really only one story, but it's what I definitely want to talk about. Episode is just flying by. There's not much going on this week, and I know you're probably saying to yourself, well, with Worlds going on, and Alex, you know one of the biggest games of the year gets released this week. Yes, I know. I know that Red Dead is this weekend, and that's part of the reason why it's been a slow news week, because pretty much every company is like, we're not talking when that game comes out. We know everyone's going to be focused on it, so anything we say, no one's going to pay attention to. That's just how it is. Whenever the biggest game of the year gets released, that's usually how it is, but apparently that didn't stop Nintendo from getting into a big story, potentially. This is a leak, so we have to be careful about how we approach this, and I know there's going to be some people who are saying, you know, like, hey, don't report on this, it's just a rumor, or Nintendo hasn't even confirmed it. I get that, but I've looked at all the bases here. This looks real, folks. Like, there's everything about this to me seems like this is actually the case. And the fact that Well, let's just get into this. So, according to Snapchat, no, I'm not joking, a curious poster was spotted in the offices of the new Grinch movie's marketing firm. On their Snapchat, they were taking snaps, and someone caught the poster, supposedly for the full roster of Smash Brothers. Now, I'm going to be nice. If you don't want spoilers, walk away now. Turn it off, skip ahead, just turn it off if you do not want me to reveal what this poster showed. If you want to be completely in the dark for Smash Brothers, turn the show off now or fast forward. 3, 2, 1. Not my fault if you stayed. Okay. The poster, which is the final version of the character poster we've seen multiple times, basically the poster at the end of every character reveal where they add the characters onto it, showcases... This was the poster that was shown in this picture, and it shows characters that have not been announced yet, which leads me to believe that this is probably real. So, because why would they have this otherwise? That's my question. Like, why in the hell would they have this if this wasn't the final version? Because it basically was the same poster, just with the added characters. So, last warning. Here are the characters. 3, 2, 1. Shadow from Sonic, which Vicky Kitty called on this very show. So props to her for putting that insightful information out way back in July. Man, she really did call that. Ken from Street Fighter, which I need to go back and listen, but I think I called that as my Echo Fighter. I probably did. Mach Rider coming in as the retro gaming character that they add to every one of these. Chorus Kids from Rhythm Heaven. And here are the big ones. These three have been begged for years. Geno from Super Mario RPG. Isaac from Golden Sun. And Banjo freaking Kazooie. That's right, the boys are back on a Nintendo system! Oh god, that feels so good to say if it's true. If they're back, they're home. I will feel like Spider-Man fans when he got announced that he was getting an MCU movie. It feels so right. It feels so good to have the... If this ends up being true, I have to stress that again. If this ends up being true, I am so unbelievably happy that Microsoft played nice and let them come onto a Nintendo system once again. I mean, it's a win-win for everybody. No one's liked how Microsoft has handled Banjo-Kazooie, so why not get them back to where they started, get some goodwill up again, and then do a digital game with the actual Rare developers and let them do Banjo 3! Sorry, I get salty when I bring up that topic. Anywho, if this ends up being true... Basically, if this ends up being true, Sakurai went in and said, alright, every character that everyone's been begging me for since Melee is getting put in this game. Geno, Simon Belmont, Big K. Rool, you know, King K. Rool, every one of them, they're in. Fine, I don't care. But what about Luigi? Dark! I just imagine that's his internal dialogue every day. He's like, alright, fine, I can finally shut up people who wanted Geno in the game. But what about Luigi? Are you kidding me? So, once again... Praise be, Master Sakurai. If this roster is the final roster, oh my god, I am going to master Banjo-Kazooie and Shadow and Richter real fast out of the new characters. Yeah, we got some other smaller stories here. First off, Fist of the North Stars, Kenshiro? I may have pronounced that wrong. I've never actually watched Fist of the North Stars, so you can crucify me for that. And City Hunters Ryo Sabea have been announced for Jump Force. I imagine these are not the final characters and that this game... We're just going to be getting more characters as this game goes along. Although, someone pointed this out, and I think it's actually a fair criticism. There's not been one female character announced yet. Little odd. Especially when there's strong female characters that could be put in Jump Force. Remy from Black Lagoon! Just saying. I'm sure there's others that I can think of. Wait, how's Ryuko from Kill la Kill not been put in this yet? Or hell, even Deku. Oh well, alright. Well, I'm sure that game's gonna have a ton of DLC because Bandai Namco can't help themselves. Last story here. Hey! Alan Wake is back on digital stores just in time for spooky season. Microsoft has worked out the music licensing rights that got the game taken out. Most digital marketplaces in the first place is now back on Steam and is also on sale on Steam for $3. So if you've never played Alan Wake, good chance to pick it up there. It will also be back on the Microsoft digital storefront very soon, as I said in an announcement. And that will be it for gaming news this week. Like I said, there's not a lot going on because everyone knows that Red Dead 2 is out this week from Rockstar Games. And Rockstar Games has pretty much dominated the conversation with everything about the unions, as Joe and I discussed last week. And even more conversations came out about that because Jason Schreier from Kotaku's great article with multiple people still at Rockstar and who previously worked at Rockstar. A lot of really good stuff in there. I want to break it more down next week and let everyone kind of enjoy Red Dead this week. I have a lot of conflicting thoughts on it, but I want to see more of the fallout come from the article before I really report on it. Kind of like the same thing I did whenever all the stuff about Riot came out, because I said, on this very podcast, I'm going to wait a week for more to come out and see if any more does come out. And oh boy, did it when I did that. So I'm going to take the same approach with this. Okay, y'all know what time it is now, and it's time for something I have loved doing during October so far. After this one, there's only one more left, so enjoy it. Welcome to the Spooky Game Corner, as I do my Vincent Price impersonation. Well, I actually did that a lot better than I thought it would. Anywho, our game this week, I had a couple in mind, but I thought to myself, it would be interesting to look back at a certain game from Rockstar, a game that even they tend to ignore when they talk about their past, because... all right, let me preface this. I really, like, I don't want to talk a lot about the game, but I want to talk about what happened when this game came out. Who here remembers Manhunt?
James Earl Cash, found guilty and sentenced to death, has been on death row for the past 3 years and was executed last night.
You've had an unexpected reprieve. Do exactly as I say, and I promise this will be over before the night is out.
If you don't remember Manhunt, oh my God. Manhunt was a game in which you played basically a serial killer trying to escape from prison. And to do so, you had to kill any prison inmate that got near you. Cool concept. And as you can imagine, back when the game released in the mid-2000s, it caused a firestorm of controversy. Like, I cannot tell you how many senators wanted this game not sold in stores. It was basically banned in Australia. A bunch of, you know, pretty much every old congressman wanted to slap the AO rating onto this game because everyone thought it was demoralizing and demeaning the kids. It's going to corrupt their little minds. And for years, I even remember my mom flipping out at this game, just basically pulling from, well, I'll be 100% honest, Fox News, the rhetoric of, how dare this game be selling these ideas to our children? Meanwhile, I would go out there and say, Mom, I can't buy that game. Like, you're a responsible parent, and I can't buy that game unless if you come in and buy it for me. So if any kid's playing it, it's on the parent. That's not on you. It's not on the kid either. But that's not the point. This game caused chaos when it came out. And it was admittedly hilarious chaos to watch as a kid, but it still was just wild. And for years, I had never played the game. I just seen the box art of it. I had seen it basically shut off by lock and key in every game store I walked into. Like, the game was treated like it was a horrible, horrendous thing. So I did not realize until earlier this year that it was one of the PS2 games you could buy on PS4. So, knowing the history behind it, I finally said to myself, God, I gotta play this and see what all the hubbub is about. Now, how do I put this? I don't think the game is very good. I actually, in terms of Rockstar, I think it's one of their weaker games. I get the, like, I actually think in terms of a horror game, it works really well. The atmosphere that it builds is incredible, and the kills that you can pull off are graphic and still disturbing to this day. And that says a lot when you're dealing with graphics that are blocky, but it still, for the most part, because of its ingenious sound design, actually really works. I just don't think the gameplay of it is very good. It's very wonky, it's very glitchy, it feels like one of Rockstar's lazier developments, and I don't know if it was a lazy development or just the fact that, like, you have to think back to the mid-2000s, Rockstar was doing a lot. They were pulling a lot of different development projects, which was kind of insane for a studio to do at the time. So I feel like this is the game that got the sore end of the stick. This is the game that didn't get the resources it properly needed. And I also argue, I think Rockstar may have been afraid to give the game its proper resources, because if they actually would have made this a really great game, it would have caused even more chaos. And it could have changed video games forever just because of how many old congressmen just didn't want to see this game get into anyone's. We could be where Australia is, where Australia could just straight up look at a game and ban it. And if that would have happened in the U.S., I don't know how gaming would be today, because obviously there's been games that have come out that have been more graphic and disturbing since Manhunt. It's just, at the time, video games weren't really misunderstood. And it also brings up the point to me, I don't know when the conversation changed, but I argue you look at games like BioShock, which deals with very disturbing imagery and gore, but handles it in a very artistic approach. I argue games like that wouldn't be around if Manhunt actually did end up taking off and becoming a much bigger staple in video games than it inevitably did. It's really only known now just for the amount of vitriol it got from a lot of the media, and that's kind of what it's known for. It's not really, when you talk to people about it, they don't really talk about the game itself. They just talk about how crazy everyone went when it came out. And it's also weirdly a series I don't know if Rockstar would ever go back to. I don't think they will in how today's climate is. I think they'd be too afraid to. But at the same time, I'm one of the people who would look at Rockstar and go, just do it, guys. Like, see what you can come up with. See what really disturbing game you can go to with this idea. Because I think they have a really great psychological horror idea in this series. They just never really tapped in its potential. Because the whole time playing the game, I got the feeling of the movie Seven. And if you've ever watched Seven, it's with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. The movie is incredibly disturbing, and just how this sense of dread is just looming over the whole thing. And that feels the same in Manhunt. It actually, weirdly enough, I think if you rebooted it, you kind of take a Saw approach to it. That would actually be really cool. But yeah, it's just I played through the whole thing, and there's not a lot I can really recommend about it. It's a stealth game, really. And it kind of was the first of its kind, so it didn't have the proper, you know, the benchmarks of good stealth games that we have today. It kind of has a bunch of stuff that you go, man, that's not a good idea. And it's really interesting to see that all go down. So, I don't know. There's some stuff about it that is interesting, and I think it's worth a play. But really what's worth it more is to just see all the history and information of when this game came out and everything that it caused. And then it got made 100 times worse when Hot Coffee came out about Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. So Rockstar, for as much as we love them nowadays and as much as we view them as one of the greatest gaming companies of modern day gaming, go back and look at how they were in the mid-2000s. They did some stuff. They pushed the envelope big time in ways that I don't think anyone has the guts today to pull off. And I don't think that should be ever forgotten. So that's it for Spooky Game Corner. It is a very spooky game. In all honesty, it's a pretty spooky game. But up next, to finish off the show, we have two reviews. That's right, two. First up, we have the review of Soul Calibur 6, the long-awaited reboot of the Soul Calibur franchise. We swing to that right now.
Thank you. world. Everyone lives by the sword. Most dwell in its shadow. There are still a few.
Oh, gods, guide me.
Who reflect its honor.
To end you.
Follow the path of legends. Or forge a new story.
Your fate has arrived in Soul Calibur 6. I can't pull that voice off like the guy who's at the beginning of every one of these games, but Alex here, and I'm here today to review Soul Calibur 6. So, this is an interesting one for me. I have loved the Soul Calibur series for a really long time. I have. I fully admit that. And this game, when it got announced last year, I said, oh, cool, it's about time we got a Soul Calibur on these consoles. What I didn't know until literally this week or the week before, because with games like this, I try to keep myself in the dark. With most fighting games, I keep myself in the dark until inevitably they do something DLC-wise that pisses off a lot of people and I can't avoid it. Or it's Smash Brothers. So I was in the dark and was not really well aware that this was a reboot of the series in terms of the story. So that's kind of where I approached this. I didn't figure that out until before I got the press notes for this. And this game, man, I think it's really good. And what stinks is that I think it could have been great if it just made a bunch of little decisions. But as it stands right now, I have enjoyed my time with it a lot. I'm not done with it. I still have a lot more to do. But everything that I played in the week that I've had it in the, I'd say 15 to 20 plus hours I've sunk into it, it's been a lot of fun. It's just not like, it doesn't really do anything to me that makes it stand high and above as the, you know, top tier fighting games. I still think Dragon Ball to me did so much that was unique that makes it in that tier. And Smash Brothers just delivers so much content every time they come out with a new game that it puts it in that tier. This to me, it's a Soul Calibur game. It doesn't really change a lot. It does some nuanced things that does make it feel different from 5, which was, you know, mitigated disaster, admittedly. But the thing that works about this is that with the reboot approach, they're able to do a full-fledged story mode. They actually do two story modes. They do one where you create your own character, and it's kind of like Soul Calibur 2, where you just explore the land, and that is extremely deep. I'm actually shocked at how big that is, to be blunt. I feel like I've just scratched the surface in that. I haven't really spent a lot of time with that, but it's been a lot of fun for what it is, and it's just the right amount of challenge. It also allows you to really get a better sense of the character creation mode, and they add a lot of stuff. Like, basically, just like a Soul Calibur 2 story mode, with the branching paths and all that stuff, and just think of that times 10. And I really like that, because one of my big complaints about Soul Calibur 5 was that it felt hollow. It felt like there wasn't a lot to do in it, and that really bothered me about it. But here, what really works about this is that there's so much to do in this story mode, which is called Libra of Soul Mission. It's a lot of good stuff in there, and I haven't gotten far enough to give a final assessment on it, but what I've played so far is very good. What I have been playing a lot of is the actual story mode Soul Chronicle. Basically, what Soul Chronicle is a reboot of the first game. And the idea is that they wanted to show different elements or different angles of the first game you might not have seen in different characters. And some character stories are interesting, like Siegfried and Voldo and Maxi and, Killick. Some of those stuff are really well done in Nightmare, but some of them are admittedly pretty weak. The one that I think a lot of people have agreed universally that's kind of weak is, even though they had a lot of potential to do stuff, is Geralt, who is the guest character, which is it's one of the things that has made this series so unique, is that they get a guest character from a crazy franchise you never really expect. Everyone remembers with Soul Calibur 4, they got Darth Vader and Yoda, which made everyone go, like, what the hell? This time around, they get Geralt from The Witcher, and his story mode's just kind of meh, because all he does is just wander around Soul Calibur's universe until he runs into Mitsurugi, and then fights him. Mitsurugi's like, all right, good fight, have a great day. And you're like, what? And that's it. So it's kind of a mixed bag. The overall story, though, I think works. It's kind of a nice retelling for new fans or people who want to jump into the series of what Soul Calibur is all about. So that really works about it. But the big thing that I want to talk about, well, actually, let's get into some new mechanics first. So there's some new fighting mechanics that's to do reversal edge and critical edge. Critical edge is like a super move, like a lot of fighting games have adapted, and I really like that. Really well executed. You just basically press R2 to do it. I play the PS4 version, so that's how it is for me. But the thing that I think is really cool is reversal edge, which is basically a parry move, which makes it where you both are standing off against each other, and based on whatever button you press, you get a more powerful version of an attack. But if you get blocked, you open yourself up for a major counterattack that takes a lot of health. It adds a whole new element of really just fighting style, strategy, and mechanics. And you really see that in the online multiplayer. Although, we're going to get to that here in a bit because that's a big criticism of the game. But before we hit that, let's hit on the character creation. The character creation in this game is so deep and so crazy, and I love it so much. You do not know how much joy I have gotten out of Twitter in the last week from seeing the crazy stuff that people have put on here. Like, for example, Ronald McDonald, Sans from Underworld, a freaking pistachio. Someone made a pistachio. And my favorite, someone gave the Nightmare Sword and made George from Seinfeld.
Worlds are colliding! George is getting upset!
And that seemed perfectly fitting to put in there, because that's exactly what I think whenever I see that, if I were to see that online. But the character creation works really well, and the thing that I think is really cool is that you can take your created character online and play with it online. Now, unfortunately, the double-edged sword to that is that it has made the ranked online extremely broken. Like, people are using their created characters to just plow through the online like it's nothing because they're able to make them as cheap as possible. I don't know how Namco goes about fixing that, but that's gotta get fixed. If I were Namco, I'd just allow players to use their created character in casual mode. And don't let them use it in ranked mode, because people are just running hog wild in ranked mode right now, and it's kind of made it completely broken. The other thing that's really weird is that you can't download characters. Like, you can't look at a created character database and download the ones you like, even though it kind of hints that you can. I wonder if that's going to be a future, although if that's paid DLC future, F you, I'm not paying for that. That's insane. And speaking of which, that I hate bringing this up against the game, but whenever it's bad and egregious, I gotta call it out. There's a $30 DLC pass to this game that is only 4 characters, and that's ridiculous. So I am not paying for that. I'm gonna do what I do with every DLC season pass and wait till it inevitably goes on sale in a year when you release your updated final game of the year version of the game. I've done it with literally every fighting game, and that's not going to change this time around. So, it's, like, to me, with this game, it's a Soul Calibur game. If you like previous Soul Calibur games, you're going to really like it. I've had a great time with it. But I also have to come in and admit that it's a Soul Calibur game. There's not much that they do to change the formula of it. Is it a good one? Yeah, it's way better than 5, I'll give it that. It's got a lot more content in it than 5. But there's just all these little nooks and crannies that I feel just kind of miss the mark a little bit. And it's kind of baffling. So, all in all, I got to come down and give it a 3.5 out of 5. I'd say it's worth a discounted price on Black Friday that I feel it's inevitably going to get. But it's still a really fun time, and I'm having a blast with it. I do think it's one of the better fighting games of the year. But yeah, when Smash Brothers comes out, they're going to wipe the floor with all of them. So, that's that. So that's one review for this week down. We got another review. This one's going to be shorter just because I it's weird. I thought this game would be a lot more to dissect into, but there's really not a lot to dissect. But up next is the review for Mega Man 11. You know, I was thinking to myself a while that it's been a long time since fans have actually gotten a mainstream Mega Man game, so maybe I'm not the right person to review this because Mega Man is not a series that I have, like, I'm head over heels for, but it's a series I respect a lot. We are here to review Mega Man 11. I'm Alex, and Mega Man 11 is a Mega Man game. That's pretty much all that could be said about it. There's not much to be added. There's not much to be subtracted. It's a well-designed Mega Man game. It aesthetically looks pretty. The bosses are fun. The levels are fine. The platforming works. The new powers are a joy to use. That's really all I could say about it. It's a Mega Man game. There's not much that it does to... It doesn't pull the Sonic Mania of, like, where it not only takes the stuff that worked about the past and expands upon them. It's just kind of a Mega Man game. It continues the series. The one new thing that it adds, though, is the Dual Gear mechanic, which is basically a new mechanic where you can either speed up and slow the world down to get better precision aiming and better precision platforming, or you can use the power gear to make yourself more powerful. This is useful in boss fights, and I do like that you can only use it a limited amount of time before it malfunctions. You have to wait for it to cool down so that way you don't abuse it. Good job there, Capcom. The other thing that I really have to praise Capcom for, it's clear that they know they haven't made a Mega Man game in a while, and they know that new gamers do not know this series. So they actually made it very easy for them to get acclimated to it, because there's four different difficulty modes, and newcomer mode is literally perfect for anyone who has never played a Mega Man game before, because basically what it does is that it handicaps everything that could kill you around you. You have no lives. If you fall down pits, you have a little helper that, you know, rises you back up and allows you to place yourself wherever you want on the map. So that way, if you're having problems with a platforming specific thing, you can just skip over it. And I think that's a really good idea, because that's something that allows new players to get in and not feel like they're being totally handicapped. So I think all that works. And from, I played the game on normal, and I did routinely get my ass kicked, but I know that I have not beaten any of these games. This is actually the first one I actually beat. So playing it on normal to me is an accomplishment, although I imagine people are going to fly by normal and play it on hard or legendary and just, you know, and have their difficulty time with that. But I've always been a person that the more difficulty levels, difficulty modes in a game, the better, because that allows you to not only let new players come in, but it also allows people who might not be very good at the series to have a little bit of challenge, just enough that they need so they don't quit on the game. And also players who are seasoned in the game to allow them to play the difficulty level that they want and get the challenge that they want. So I'm never opposed to any game doing that. But other than that, I mean, the art style for me works. It looks very pretty. The bosses are fun. They're all unique. The levels are fine. Some levels work. Some, I think, are kind of boring. I actually really like the acid level. I thought that level was great. That was really well designed and a lot of unique stuff going on in there. But then you got level, like, and then some levels are just bland and boring. And I just kind of felt like I was going through the motions with it. So that's really all I have to say about Mega Man 11. It's a short game, and it's not really that pricey as it is right now. I'd still say pick it up half off if you're... That's just me, though. I give it a 3 out of 5. I see it going on sale at Black Friday, and I say pick it up then. And like I said, this is quick, because that's all really I have to say about Mega Man 11. And that'll do it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, as always, to our executive producer, Brian Lamartina. This has been Level Up. Game on. And enjoy your weekend with Red Dead, My Hero, Castlevania, whatever the hell you're going to play this weekend. Just enjoy it and game on.